They're very aware of that, and very lucky to have guys that understand the situation that we are in, and always find ways to get runs across the board. It takes a team who's, you know, we are committed to this, and that's why we always got someone who's willing to, you know, take a step forward and get big hits for us.
Joe Espada talking about guys picking up the slack without Jeremy Peña on the field these days, along with Yordan Alvarez. The Astros have gotten contributions at all points along the way over the last couple of months, especially since they are the best team in Major League Baseball, Seth, since May 1st, and a Major League best 19-7 in the month of June. And they've started the month of July off now a perfect 1-0 after last night's 6-5 win over the Colorado Rockies, picking up their 51st victory on the season. By the way, shout out to the Mariners for helping the Astros out again last night and sucking. They lost, so now Houston is a season-high 7 games on top of the Mariners, Seth, in the American League West.
So I'm intrigued by what you teased. The only thing that can sideline the Astros, but hasn't yet, but still affects the bottom line.
Yeah.
What's that mean?
The bottom line for me is legitimately contending for a World Series. The only thing that can sideline the Astros is what we've been unfortunately talking about outside of them stacking up dubs, the injuries. That's the only thing that can sideline them. Because I kind of tried to make the point, or started to anyway, last segment, like, hey, Colton Gordon and Ryan Gusto and who's the other pitcher that I'm blanking
Brandon
on right
Walter.
Now? Brandon Walter. Yeah. My gosh, yeah. He'll be pitching later on this series. You got Hunter Brown today and Walter, the final of the 3-game set. Injuries is the only thing that can do it, because at some point in time you have to realize that, hey, this is not just a short 2-3-game sample size from these guys. They've been able to, you know, play the game of chess over checkers from a pitching standpoint, being thrown into the fire, whether it be you're making a start for Arrigetti or making a start for Blanco. Cam Smith is not performing like the rookie was, you know, the first month of the season. Like, he's been one of the better hitters in the American League now for the last month. Hitting at a .353 clip and doing so with power. You know, it just kind of goes on and on down the list. And is it going to catch up to them in the postseason, kind of like it did last year when, hey, you knew you had the pitching and you felt pretty comfortable with that, but man, you needed the offense and it just wasn't there against the Tigers.
You didn't have the offense. And then also, if you get into a 7-game series versus a really good team, the climb is really, really steep for guys like Colton Gordon. If a team's going to see him twice in a 7-game series, or if he's going to see Brandon Walter or any of those other guys twice, that's where it's not an oversimplification. It's injuries. If you have Peña, if you have Arrigetti back, if you've got either Blanco or Javier or one of those guys, and God,
Garcia,
please,
yeah,
Yordan, if you have Yordan back, like those aren't particularly huge ifs, or at least it shouldn't be. It's not like you're hoping for some guy to come back from an Achilles tendon tear in 5 months or something.
Yeah.
You're not asking for the miraculous. You're asking for what should be relatively simple injuries and recoveries, like Arrigetti's broken hand, like Jeremy Peña's broken, like Yordan's broken hand, all these things. This team that you've ridden defense, the bullpen, and like Paredes is competitive at the competitiveness at the plate.
Yeah.
All these things that are just kind of not as exciting, but just good, sound, fundamentally good baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah. You pour gasoline on the fire. That's the stressful part, but also the exciting upside of it.
I mean, I don't want to directly compare, you know, Isak Paredes, who's a very good baseball player and considerably younger than that of Alex Bregman, who we were heralding as an Astros icon and wanting very much for him to be back for the long term this past offseason. But you're going from a guy who had one of the best eyes in Major League Baseball as a hitter in Alex Bregman to another guy who is just about as sound at the plate in Isak Paredes he's a lot more aggressive at the plate and fights pitches off until he gets the one that he likes, and he might not be a guy that sprays it all over the field, but when the guy connects, the guy connects. And yeah, watching him battle, it is fun. It is fun. Yeah, I don't know if you have to be necessarily like a baseball nerd to enjoy that. It was just really cool. What did we talk about? 31 pitches he made Jameson Taillon throw on Sunday night. I don't know how many pitches he induced from Rocky pitchers last night, but he gives you competitive at-bats almost every darn time up. And that is one of them. That's if you have that ability to kind of elongate innings, especially as a table setter, then that's something that's very different from an Astros lineup from last season when they were not very selective. And this goes in direct correlation to what Joe Espada, Dana Brown talked about in the offseason with Alex Cintron and Troy Snitker, their hitting coaches, needing to, get their guys to not be so aggressive early on and fail, really, in at-bats. But, find your pitch and go with it and put together more competitive at-bats. It took a little bit this season to kind of see that come to fruition, but I feel like they're doing it.
Yeah, so the big ifs, like, the guys that you feel it's realistic that we should have these guys back. Yordan has probably plummeted for me. Like, I feel definitely more optimistic. Obviously, Pena, I feel optimistic about. I remember that Carlos Correa missed 50 games with broken ribs back after his massage therapist incident. But more likely than not, that Pena is going to be okay, and it should hopefully be no big deal. So Pena's right up there at the top of guys I'm optimistic about.
Yeah.
And like Arrigetti, I'm still relatively optimistic about, and they're just taking their time with him. Yordan's just, he's right down there at rock bottom because of the entire season. The fact that he was struggling before they really started looking at the hand seriously. And so if that was because of the hand, we're looking at the entire first half of the season where Yordan has been affected either in performance or just non-availability because of that hand. And now yeah, we've got yet another setback.
Well, all right, so you bring this up. I saw Larry and Stafford on Twitter last night, and he was talking about the Yordan injury. And I'll read the tweet for you because with you saying that, I wonder, and here's the question, will Yordan's injury, as I've said, the only thing that can really sideline the Astros is injuries. And will Yordan's injury sideline the Astros ultimately or keep them from realizing their true potential this season, similarly to Deshaun Watson's injury years ago with the Texans? Here's what Larry and Stafford said. Yordan's injury is the equivalent to Deshaun getting hurt in Seattle in the Seattle game in 2017 and then came home, practiced, and then he was out for the rest of the season. That year, the Rockets, Astros, and Texans were on the cusp of doing exactly what they're doing now. That was the tweet. And
yeah,
that's that point in time where I thought, hey, City of Houston's entering into the golden age of sports, and it's looking great. Astros win the World Series. Deshaun Watson tears his ACL, and it all went to hell.
Yeah, I guess that was the difference, is that the Astros had already won the World Series at that point. So that was already in the bag. So at least by the time we learned that yeah, Deshaun had a torn ACL, whether it happened in the game or not, whatever. But this might actually even be worse if Yordan is out the entire year, because that Astros team was showing a lot of, or excuse me, the Texans with Deshaun Watson at that point were 3-7. Deshaun had gone 3-3, but it was really, really promising and it was exciting. I don't know exactly what the ceiling would have been. And if I'm being honest, like, okay, how optimistic was I that the team was actually going to make the playoffs that year or anything like that? I think I was right, more just excited about Deshaun Watson.
The future.
This time it feels like you're building with the Texans the right way. You're building with the Rockets the right way. Mm-hmm. The Astros are actually out there doing it in the middle of the season without Yordan, as we are now. That's where it feels different. We don't know that Yordan's going to be out for the whole year. So, we don't know that at all.
Right.
More likely than not, he's going to come back at some point. So there's still hope, I guess. With Deshaun Watson, the ACL is torn, and that's it. They're done for that season.
But Yordan, it's a broken hand. It is a bone that is broken. Why can't we just allow these guys to heal broken bones? Like, just... I don't need him swinging bats. I don't need him doing baseball activities. I don't need him to do anything. Jeremy Pena the same way. The way that Dana Brown spoke about Jeremy Pena 48 hours ago when he had said, well, you know, we're going to, he's on the trip with us, you know, and that's so he can do some baseball activities. And if he's feeling good, it's a feel thing. We can have him start doing some stuff and maybe he'll be back. You know, July 8th is when he's eligible to come off the IL. It's a broken rib. Wait until it is not broken anymore. It is a broken hand. Wait until it is not broken anymore.
Okay, but there's a problem with Jordan. They didn't know it was a broken hand. That was the
until they did, and then he's freaking hitting dingers at Daikin Park pregame this weekend, and it's like, what did it take a week for this like fracture that you all of a sudden like discover to heal? Like, what the hell are we doing? He's been out for 2 months with this situation, and it's like, we're going to acknowledge this, and then to give the fan base even more hope, go swing some bats, Jordan. Go run around the bases at, like, half speed. Get people all excited for the setback announcement that's coming in 5 more days. Like, it drives me crazy.
I guess the tricky thing with hands is that they're just so complicated, and everything affects everything else. So I would hope that with Jordan, what this is like what you said, you advocate rest. The problem with that, like complete and total rest, is that it makes the overall rehab a lot longer a lot of times, because then you have to, everything is atrophied all over the place. So with him, this hopefully is just something that's more muscular, that the bone is healed, but his hands are still learning how to swing a bat with the force that he does, and that it's just a little bit of an actual minor setback.
Yeah.
But as you have accused me and the Astros fan base of being cynical about this, we know better because we've seen it before that a setback is not just a setback. That sometimes setbacks turn into, oh yeah, it turns out that guy's been dead for 18 months. Sorry, we forgot to tell you. That's what's going to happen 12 months from now. So can we get an update on Jordan? Oh, he's been feeling great. And then you find out later that he actually died 2 weeks earlier.
Yes.
That's the Astros injury update.
Buried him at sea a couple of weeks back. It was a peaceful ceremony. A texter from the 832. Well, is it more important that Jordan comes back or that Pena / starting pitchers return? I think it's an interesting question. It kind of pokes a hole directly in the premise that I just laid out this segment, in that the only thing that can sideline the Astros is injury. Well, if you get mostly healthy but are without Jordan, who hit at least 31 homers in the last 4 years consecutively, you don't have that bat in your lineup come playoff time. That is exactly my point. Like, this might be good enough to do what you're doing in baseball's worst division during the regular season, but come playoff time, when you need to finally be able to tap into that true potential of an explosive offense that you thought on paper you were going to have this offseason, you don't have that guy, then you're asking more from Jeremy Pena in a career year. You're asking more from Cam Smith in a rookie season. You know,
and that's the fix, though, that you're in, though, too, is what's the other big known thing about winning in the playoffs? Really, really hard to do it without good pitching. It really, man, more times than not, it just comes down to how good are your pitchers.
Well, yeah.
And right this moment, I feel good about two of the starting pitchers. The other guys, I'm just holding my breath and seeing what comes of it, and then really leaning on the bullpen. So that's the part I can envision. It's easier for me to envision the Astros winning a World Series without Jordan than it is for me to envision them winning a World Series with this current group of starting pitchers.
Hey, look, the Tigers, they didn't win the World Series last year, did they? No, of course not. But correct me if I'm wrong, did they or did they not beat the Astros by doing this whole opener crap? And they didn't really have, like, you know, three dudes that they were going to go game one, game two, game three, shut your ass down. No, they didn't have that at all. They were very creative in how they had to attack the opposition. Not to say that the Astros couldn't do the same thing, and they've got two aces on the staff as it appears right now in Fromber and Hunter, so maybe it's a little overblown in my opinion that, hey, the Astros, they're really going to have to go out and try to find this year's Yusei Kikuchi. I'd like them to, especially if it didn't cost them a Jacob Melton or a Bryce Matthews or, you know, one of their top prospects that very much should maybe be playing Major League Baseball with the club right now. But I think it does exist, the possibility that you could get by from a pitching standpoint with what you have.
Yeah.
But you still have a whole nother half season to kind of see what's necessary from Colton Gordon and less Ryan Gusto, but maybe Brandon Walter and however they piece things together. Because Eric Eddie will come back, you know. God forbid, like, hey, he's got a broken bone, and I'm not watching him throw 90 pitches off of a mound in a live BP session or anything. No, like, it seems very much like he's doing the things necessary that maybe Yordan should be doing, which is, you know, doing more rest than actual baseball activity every day.
Yeah, that and the Astros' ability to kind of platoon guys and piggyback start and everything else in the playoffs, we've seen that for years and years and years. That's where I'm trying to remember and remind myself that, all right, I didn't feel about Charlie Morton in mid-2017 the same way I would eventually about him. Like, the trust factor, we've seen time and time again with various pitchers. It grows, and there's still time for any of those.
Yeah.
We didn't feel great about Hunter Brown or Spencer Arrow. But we didn't feel great about Hunter Brown early on in 2024 at all. Spencer Arrighetti was more of a slow burn-in, too. So I am very much open to that. I'm not saying it's impossible.
Half.
It's just this current composition, the way they've been pitching, there's some good things with these young guys, but at some point I would love to have the luxury of having a third starter that I feel might someday go seven innings into a game.
Yeah. Texter sent in, you know, Yordan was sucking before he got injured. Well, he might've been injured, you know,
right. And, yeah.
He might've been injured.
Yeah, we laid all that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just reciting what we already said, man. We don't know. What we're hoping is that it was because of his hand that he was. We're genuinely, like, retroactively hoping that he was injured that whole time.
Yeah. Because
that makes more sense than him being on the most prolonged slump he's ever had.
Between Yordan and Dana Brown, they've at least acknowledged that was the case for some of the time. You know, Yordan trying to play through injury, and it obviously wasn't working. Seth Payne, Sean Bajani, that's me in for Sean Pendergast. If you'd like to weigh in, 713-572-4610. We'll definitely get to your texts and chats in the YouTube and Twitch. Coming up next, headlines. We'll get you the day's top stories and set for the rest of the week. Stay there at Sports Radio 610.